Just want to let everyone know that we are live. Catfish is having Wi-Fi issues, so we're being delayed. So Wet Embargo episode 14 is on standby. So I don't even know why I went live, but I thought I'd figure I'd tell you all, and then maybe we can get stuff resolved that way. So I'm just going to kind of chill and wait for Catfish for a little bit, and then see what happens. Maybe he's going to join up, maybe he's not, who knows. But we'll see what's going on. We'll get in the chat room here and defend Catfish as people are bashing him. By the way, sorry, for some reason I had Wet Embargo live going when I was doing this. Smoking the Boulevard Exclusivo Canada from 2007 right now and preparing to talk about regional editions. But as Catfish isn't here, I'm just going to smoke it and maybe we'll talk about it. So, who knows? Let's see what happens. To the audience out there who is wondering, where the hell's Catfish? I just, holy shit, there he is!
God damn it.
I know, man. You seem...
go away, like... Yeah, if I go away, I apologize.
No, you're good, man. I was about to start rambling and just say, what the hell? And just kind of go for it. But I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, I ran into... I have no idea what's going on with my Wi-Fi these days. And the last, like, week, it's been crazy. So, it's like certain times of the day, it just goes away. Just decides to stop working. And I full-on tested it an hour ago before I ate. And had everything set up. And then took off. And, of course, as soon as I sit down and light my cigar and tweet out that we're going live, it just pow, takes a dump. So I went in and reset everything, and hopefully we don't have that issue again. So I apologize for being late.
You're good, man. You are good. No problems one bit.
So what's going on?
Just, man, I'm just trying to play catch up. I'll tell you one thing. When you go away for a week, then you come back, then you get sick, so you're out for the count for about a week. Then you get back. It's just crazy.
Where'd you go?
I went, well, end of August. It's been a month, but geez, it feels like it's been 2 days So end of August, I got back from, doing that habitat trip, and then I was back for a little while, and then I went up to Virginia, Orlando, Virginia, and I came back and had a cold when I got back, so I was out for a count. Last week, 2 weeks ago, I can't even remember. It's crazy.
Weird.
What's going on with you, man?
Grad school is absolutely destroying me. So I'm very near at I don't have time to smoke much anymore. When we first started doing the show, they like pulled a 3.5 night a week thing on us. And at the time it was okay because it was only 2 classes, so it was doable. But now they're doing 3 on 4 nights a week.
Jeez.
So it is absolutely ridiculous. And in the same amount of time, my band booked studio time to record our album. So, coffee and, I'm drinking a lot of coffee.
It's all about the coffee, man.
And I have to give a shout out to Covenant Coffee. We featured them on our sharing our pairing that I did with John, which was another instance where my Wi-Fi decided to crap out on us.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And man, those guys got some great coffee. I blended a couple of their beans, and they've been amazing. And then I just made espresso with their Kenyan bean, and it's perfect. And I grabbed a totally got lucky tonight. I loved it. I was so stoked, but I felt like a Monte Cristo, and so I have a box of Edmundo.
Oh, nice. Great stick.
From October 11, and, being that I have a smaller Winador, I thought it was going to be bigger when I bought it, but it's not. But anyways, if I go through half of a box, then I use that box to consolidate singles and whatnot. So anyways, I hadn't looked at the bottom layer of this box forever, and I haven't had one of these forever, and there's nothing on the top layer. It's all Coronas and other crap. So I opened it up today, and they actually had plume starting on them. So I was pleasantly surprised, and it tastes amazing with this extremely bold Full City Plus Kenyan AA espresso. So.
Kenyan AA espresso. Well, there you go. So, well, good deal, man. I haven't smoked Imani and Mundo in a while.
What are you smoking now?
I'm smoking a Bolivar Exclusivo Canada Surgeon's Home Country 2007, ooh, man.
Really?
This
How's
is
that?
This is probably the best Bolivar out there.
Well, Bolivar in general gets amazing after
this is
how many years? And you're talking 7-year-old tobaccos on it right now?
This is, I love the Royal Coronas, but this just beats it. I mean, this is
It's best. 9 years, isn't it? Yeah, because it's 2-year aged. Is Regional 1 year aged or 2 year aged?
I think the wrapper, maybe it's 1 year. Either way, 8 years tobacco, 8 years aged tobacco. It's great. Yeah, I mean, these things have really come a long way. I mean, I love them when they're young, but they're just great now, and it's just...
Oh, so what you're saying is you have more?
Actually, not many. Not really many at all. But
we should do a show about them.
We should do a show about them. This is the one... This is a regional edition that I'll defend. This is a regional edition that I'll say, okay, they get it. There you go. There's a class example. There's a lot of failures out there, but there's some good ones out there, too.
Did you know your video's out?
What do you mean my video's out?
Your video's out. You are just Cigar Federation logo right now.
This is
so awesome. And a couple of guys in the chatter. I didn't know if it was just me or, because mine's all jacked, or if it was what. But there's multiple guys in chat who are saying your video's out. Your video feed is out.
Interesting. I don't know.
This is the crazy Ghost of Tuna episode. What episode are we?
14.
14. The Ghost of 14.
This is crazy about my video. I gotta figure this out. So, well, what are you gonna do about it?
Whatever. Who cares? You're a big eagle. holding we'll figure, tobacco leaves and a torch.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a rough today, but we'll figure it out. It's not that big of a deal. I don't know why it's doing that. That's crazy.
That's funny.
It was working earlier, but now it's not working. Who knows?
Maybe it's my computer cursing yours.
I don't know.
Mine is so jacked right now.
Well, it's funny because I look at mine and it just goes back and forth between you and me, but then I can see it right there on the Google Hangouts. It just goes to that SigFed logo.
Yeah, no, it's just SigFed logo. That's so all it is. I wonder if I can give you effects.
Nice crown.
You're going to give me effect. Yeah, actually, you know what? I was going to say, I wonder if there's... Let's see what we got here. Here, this will make me feel better about myself. I had to shave, dude.
Nice beard. Why'd you have to shave?
I had to shave because I am hopefully... I left a little bit of, you know, chin
scruff.
Music, but...
chin
but,
music.
I have an interview on Tuesday, so we'll see what's up.
You had to get rid of it for that, I see.
Well, I did the first interview, and I have to do the second one, so on Tuesday. So it worked in getting me the second interview at this point. So.
Well, nice. I don't know why my video's out. I don't even give a shit anymore, so fuck it. It's like, I'm not going to bother about it. They can hear my voice. As long as they can hear me, that's all that matters.
Well, you know, we have so many people who actually go back and listen to our shows that I don't
exactly
give a shit what we look like.
I hope not. If you're here because you want to see me, then fuck, you need help. Because that's
pretty
all
much
I'm going to say. I mean,
pretty
other
much
than that, I mean, shit, there's porn out there. Don't watch it. You're going to be okay. It's much more enjoyable to watch. But if you want to learn something, just listen to what I got to say.
I know, and I'm hoping you have plenty to espouse today because like I said, your message earlier today, I'm like, what are we talking about? And I don't have anything. But normally I'll put together a presentation and have a little mini paper outline, and I didn't do any of that shit.
I'm going to give a presentation on what the Cigar Federation logo looks like because that's all you're going to fucking see. No matter what I do, you're just going to see that eagle. So
somewhere in Texas, Logan is just like, yes, free advertisement.
It's all about the Sig Fed, so no matter what, that's all.
Well, hey,
let me
interrupt your eagle mantra for a second. I know that this show is all about Cubans, but I've got to give a shout out. Anybody who's listening to this, if you go to the Cigar Federation page, front page, you'll see the Project Manana. Video. We're having the kickoff on September 2nd, and I'll be honest, I haven't even had time to watch it, and I finally watched it this morning, and it was fantastic to see that the fundraiser we did last year, instead of going towards buying some moron a Harley Davidson or a Yamaha motorcycle, we actually built a school and got some 13-year-old kid, I think he was 13, we got some 13-year-old kid, a wheelchair, whose parents had been carrying him around because they had no way to transport him at the time. And so the money that we raised last year helped build a school in the Dominican Republic, and it helped get this kid a wheelchair who needed one really bad. So I know we got a solid lineup this year, and it was really nice to hear, you know, exactly how it impacted the kids down there. And this year we're raising money to build kind of like a cafeteria, I think, is what we're building this year to help feed more of these kids. Either that or we built a cafeteria last year, and this year we're building a school. I don't know which one we're doing. But either way, if you're listening, go to CigarFederation.com. Look at the Project Manana video. I'm sure we'll be blasting it on September 2nd is when it starts. And donate some money because you'll know that when you're putting that money, it's going to a good cause. It's helping a great organization, helping kids in the Dominican Republic who need help. So. Anyways, that's my.
You're not just riding around on a scooter.
Yeah. Hey, I'm giving away cigars so I can get a scooter.
Beep, beep. Beep, beep.
Now, if I was running a contest, say, to get a jet ski so I could be like Kenny Powers, that would be so much more awesome.
Honestly, I'd donate.
That would just
I'd
be total baller.
I would donate to get you a jet ski.
Mm-hmm.
But if you wanted a Yamaha like motorcycle scooter, I'd tell you to fuck off. If we're just being legit. We're being legit. Sorry.
We're being absolutely legit. That's all. This is going to be the most legit show ever.
Off, uncensored, everything. So,
uncensored.
Speaking of uncensored, let's talk about regionals.
Yeah. So, in the past, I hadn't been a really big regional fan, and I had an interesting experience this week. So, give your spiel real quick. I need to go handle something for like 30 seconds, and I'll be right back.
That's fine. I'm going to leave the video on you because otherwise you're just going to see a damn SickBed logo.
I know,
that's
so you fine. Get to see the backyard.
Awesome. So, for all y'all wondering, the Regional Edition Series was launched in 2005. And at the time, it was intended to, what I would say, is to promote those smaller brands which are not as well known. They're not the global brands like Cohiba, Monte Cristo, Partagas, etc. So it was an opportunity for brands such as Punch, Boulevard, you know, Sancho Panza, Kid Rosset, all those brands, Ramon Iones, to promote themselves and to kind of generate sales, well, not kind of, to generate sales and grab attention to those brands. And it's been effective. They've done a good job at that. The one exemption to those global things, and Catfish and I can talk about it, was 2007 they launched a Edmundo Dantes, which is kind of tied in with the Monte Cristo brand for Mexico. But it's the regional edition program is initiated because how it is you have distributors for regions, whether it's Asia Pacific, a country, etc.
Who basically? I'm gonna interrupt you.
Go ahead, do it.
So, these distributors, obviously, we know that they choose markets that are popular to that region.
Yeah.
Right. So they have the brands that they like. What about the blending? Is the blending done to suit that palette? Do you know? I mean, did you find anything in that regard?
From what I've heard, I've heard two things. I have heard that they said, give me a lighter version of something along those lines. I think what they do is they ask for kind of a unique vitola. It can't ever been used. It's got to be something.
Yeah, that I know. It can't be used in that line, right?
It's got to be brand new to that line, and it's basically only for 2 years, and it's 1 year, 25,000 cigars, and then if they want to bring it back, they can. But Habanos always has the right to say, listen, this may have been your regional edition, but we're going to add this to the actual brand.
Yeah, and how many times have they done that? Have they ever done that?
They haven't done it.
So.
They've never, I don't think they've found a single vitola that's really on anyone. I bet
well, you.
You
know what though, dude? They need to get their head out of their ass and make the poor La Raniaga Encantos a regular release, because that cigar was freaking amazing, dude.
You know, it's...
That shit was badass.
I wonder what it would take to get it. You know, it's like if Cigar Aficionado gave a regional edition number one cigar of the year, I guarantee that would become a core line smoke. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But it's... Yeah, I mean, it hasn't happened. But there are certain brands that do very well in certain markets. Poor Lara.
Isn't that like the over in the Middle East?
Ramon Iones. Yeah, in Lebanon, it's like always Ramon Iones. It doesn't matter what. Every year, it's a different size in the Ramon Iones brand. So, and they recently, a couple years ago, started saying that, okay, Germany, you can only have one regional edition. You can't have two.
Why? They got an issue with the Germans or what?
No, it's just anybody. It's not just Germany. It's everybody. Yeah, they're picking on those Germans. So I think, well, to be honest with you, I think it's because there are some countries, I know Switzerland, Italy early on, probably Germany and England, are guys who are like, yeah, give me a couple regional editions. And I think where it comes into factor is taxes. because
yeah.
In England, no one's going to probably buy a regular Ramon Ayones or a Juan Lopez or anything like that. But you make it a special limited edition, regional edition, you're going to get people buying it.
You know, that's an interesting point that you make, because since cigars are taxed by size there, even though a regional would be, say, a $17 retail, if it's a Petit Robusto as opposed to a, you know, a Churchill, it'd probably end up being cheaper. So I wonder, I wonder if that actually exists. I mean, I'm just talking out of my ass right now, so I have no clue if that exists. I'll have to call up Akil and ask him, but...
The other question is that why sometimes they make a bigger cigar? Because it's limited, they know they can get away with making a bigger stick. And I also think they pay attention to what the market wants.
Yeah, so, no, and I honestly, like, I was looking at I only have a few regionals. I mean, like, half a dozen, maybe, total.
Yeah.
And, all of them are huge, so that was why I grabbed the Encantos, because it was an 8.98 size. So it was, you know, it's 8.98 size is awesome.
Yeah, and it's a great size.
I don't like the Partagas, but I like the size. I definitely want to find the Ramon Ayones 8.98 regional this year, because that would be freaking fantastic. But man, they're all huge. They're big old monsters.
Yeah, it's, you know, I
know we talked about that last week. But.
Yeah, we talked, and it's, you know, the size has gotten bigger, but it is getting smaller again, and the length got really big, but it's getting shorter again, but it's one of those things that, you know, they just, I don't know.
And it kind of makes sense to me, because as a dumb consumer, you know, if I was looking at, when I was looking at purchasing a bunch of custom rolled stuff, you know, I wanted to get the biggest cigars possible, because I figured, you know, not necessarily ring gauge wise, but size wise, because I figured, okay, if I'm going to dump cash on this, I want some monster cigars that are going to last me forever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't want to get a Petite Corona.
Yeah, and be like, yeah, this is $12. You know what I mean? So.
I hear you.
That makes sense. Although poor Larañaga is however the hell you say that name. They did the Petite Corona, and then or like a, you know, like a smaller Corona, and then Vegas Albania did as well. So, I want to see those big time.
Those are smokes that are interesting to me. It's just, you know, as you said earlier, regional editions. You've only probably smoked half a dozen.
Oh, yeah, not very many at all.
I'm telling you, trying to get all of them is impossible.
Yeah.
It's a pain in the butt, and it's not, and you all should know this, that just because it says it's a regional edition for Canada, it doesn't mean that's the only place you can get it. There's a lot of places that start getting it, because a lot of these distributors communicate with one each other, and they trade. So they start trading... They start trading regional editions. I know a place. I know Asia Pacific trades with Canada, so it's kind of like.
Well, yeah, that's what's interesting, and I actually have to clarify. I'm keep interrupting you. Sorry.
No, you're good. Go ahead, roll with it, man. I don't even have a fucking video, man. I'm an eagle.
No, you're on. Your face is here, dude.
Oh shit! Really? Damn. Fuck.
Yeah, your face is back.
Oh, but I'm highlighted just on you now. There we go. So,
yeah, no,
who
back,
knows? I'm fucking back. Puke and rally.
Puke and rally. Hell yeah. Shit, now I totally forgot what I was going to say. Oh, no. The Encantos. The Encantos. On my review on the Encantos, I said that, you know, that these are going in the $20 to $30 range, because my research had found them in Canada. Mm-hmm. And in a couple other spots, in that 20, I mean, they were like $500 to $600 a box to find them. And then, lo and behold, one of our amazing readers, thank you guys for supporting us at HabanosCritic.com, shot me a message and was like, hey, how's the regular production? And I'm all, what? And I looked at a Swiss retailer that happened to have them, or the original retailish in the like 275, 280 range, which is unbelievable. So you know that those guys have to be trading with the Asian distributors. They have to be.
They are.
You know what I mean?
The biggest one I've come across is Asia and Canada. For some reason, Asia Pacific and Canada trade well with one another.
Really?
So it's kind of like you Asia Pacific gets a lot of Canadian stuff, and the Canadians get a lot of the Asia Pacific stuff. I don't know why that is, but I've always found that if you're in Canada, you'll have no problem getting Asia Pacific regionals, and if you're in Australia, anywhere in the Asia Pacific, Canada ones are really easy to get. I have a friend who lives in Seoul, South Korea, and he says the easiest regional editions for him to get are the ones for Asia and the ones for Canada. Don't
really?
Ask me why. Yeah, he says that's what he gets. He's never smoked any other regional edition except for Canada. And
we gotta ask Dave. We gotta ask Dave when we're on his show in 2 weeks. By the way, everybody, we're gonna be on. I can't even remember the name of the show.
Cigar Jukebox.
Cigar Jukebox. That's right.
We're gonna be in Brisbane, Australia.
Yeah, we're guest spotting in Brisbane, Australia with Dave, and I can't say pronounce his last name.
Burke
from Cigar Jukebox. He's actually an American who's down in
Australia.
In Australia, or is he in New Zealand?
No, he's in Australia. He's in Brisbane. He's in Queensland, man. He's in the northeastern province. I think he is. I don't know. I feel like he's in Brisbane.
Anyways, we'll have to ask him, dude. See what he
says. I think I know the cigar shop he goes to.
Really? Have you been there?
Maybe.
Virtually.
So yeah, I've been down. I went down there and caught some waves and some prawns.
Went to the friendly neighborhood local LCDH.
Went to the local LCDH. So, but I don't know why that is. Well, that's a good question to ask for him. I mean, he deals with it. So, but when I was in Canada years ago, I was just finding a bunch of Asia Pacific regional editions. I got some Pearl Arenagas and some other ones, and it was like, jeez.
So have you smoked several of the Pearl Arenaga's Asias?
Well, kind of. I have smoked, there is a, it's actually probably one of the better Robustas I've ever had. I think it was a 2010. It was the Robusto. No, that wasn't it. I can't remember what year it was.
The reason why I ask is because
the Encantos was 2010.
Yeah, the Encantos was 2010. You know how I don't like Port Larañaga, right?
I know you don't.
And nothing I've ever had from them has ever made me happy. And this was like freaking fantastic. Like it was the Encantos was a straight up T-bomb. Like it reminded me of drinking some amazing breakfast tea with like some amazing honey, and I always buy locally grown honey everywhere I go, just because. I like to support farmers, and B, I use honey in tea and all the time, sweet tea and to flavor and sugar for instead of sugar all the time and whatever. Anyways, that cigar tasted like. I mean, and I don't know high-end tea. Like, I would love Logan to smoke it. I mean, he'd have to not smoke a cigar for, like, a month so his palate would be clean enough to taste something.
Logan would have to not smoke a cigar for about 3 months to have a decent palate. Maybe.
No. But, at least a week. But he knows tea really well.
He's a big tea guy. Well, I mean, he's been in India a lot.
I would love to hear his thoughts on the cigar because he would be able to pinpoint what kind of tea it was, you know what I mean? But for me, it was like, the cigar was just absolutely fantastic. And it was a tea bomb. And I mean, I had all sorts of other flavors as well, but the most dominant one was that. And it was completely different than any of the other Pearl Arenagas that I've had in the past. That's why I was wondering if the regions blend specifically for that region, because
they're lighter, and I know I remember this because now I found it. I remember I smoked a 2007 regional edition Robusto for the Pearl Arenaga.
Okay.
And I found it to be and I'm remembering this now because I still remember smoking this on my pergola. It was very tea-like. It was very light. It's not what a typical Four Laranaga is for me. It's nothing like a Petit Corona. That Robusta was just very elegant. And I think it really, I think that's more Asian Pacific flavor profile.
Yeah, that's why I was wondering, you know. I mean, I would assume that, which it made sense. Guy sent it to me, and it would make sense that he would like that because the cigar itself was very light in profile, tons of tea, honey notes. I think I even got toffee at one point in time, like sugar cane, like these really, really interesting. The sweetness just morphed from honey to sugar cane to toffee and just all these crazy flavor changes. It was bitchin', but it was really light. And most of their cigars, most of that line is real heavy on the earth. So that's what kind of freaked me out when I was smoking it. And I realize now why so many guys like the Asia Pacific Port Laranaga stuff. Because I know a bunch of guys who love, who swear by their Asian releases, and I'm always like, no, I don't like the brand.
Yeah. Asian releases, I find, are, they're really good. And you know what I think that comes down to is the Asia Pacific distributor. And he's based in, he's in Hong Kong, or he's in Hong Kong. But yeah, he really knows. He knows what he's talking about. And he does a really good job with that stuff. And it's just, he delivers solid products.
Yeah, I know a couple guys who know those guys and worked with him in the past, and it seems like, well, he's been around for a long time. Those guys have been around for a long time.
Yeah.
And have an impeccable relationship, so it doesn't surprise me that they know what they're doing. It just seems like I find, when I hear about good regional releases, that's the one I hear. Those are the ones I hear, region I hear about. I also hear about Canada a lot, and I always hear about Great Britain for some reason.
Great Britain
gets the bomb ones.
I've had a really good Great Britain, and I'm trying to remember. I have a petite
Bellicoso from them. That's Great Britain.
Yeah. The Renato exclusive or something?
Yeah, that's right. It's Ramon Iones.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to smoke it yet because I figured it was a little still young. I want to say it was 2013 maybe, so I don't know. We'll see.
The strongest Habano, one of the strongest ones I've had, and it's definitely the strongest regional edition, was the Celestial Finos Ramon Iones. From 2009 for Australia. I mean, not Australia, Asia Pacific. I got it.
And
those were beasts.
And they're still around.
Yeah, you can still get them. They're
still around. I want to say in Europe they're running. I see them in Europe, and I want to say they're in that 350-ish range.
Yeah, they're. They're very good.
So is it strong in the sense of Lajero strong? Like
yeah,
knock you down?
Yeah, the strength. I mean, I smoked them back in 2010, 2011, and it kicked the crap out of me.
Really?
It was a beast.
Dude, I love it when Habanos do that.
Oh, yeah, every once in a while they can really friggin' creep up on you, and it kind of...
Yeah.
It kind of pisses me off sometimes because I'm not expecting it. So
yeah, no, exactly. But Bajeque always does that to me, and yeah. I love them for that reason. Like that's one of my favorite reasons I smoke those because when I do, I'm like, just knocked out about halfway through. Like my head just becomes incredibly light, and I'm it's like being stoned almost. You know what I mean?
It's that Cuban medio tiempo. So, but. No, I mean, it's a program, you know, and the problem with regional editions is that there's a couple years where there's been so many. I think they're trying to get it under control so that there's not as many out there. It's not flooding everything.
How many were there last year that we saw, or this year that were announced?
It was
a ridiculous number?
Yeah, let me go pull up. I have the numbers. I drafted up. There's 15 this year, so it's gone up. So 2011, wow. 2011 was the biggest year, and there's 25. Wow. Yeah, so it was a drop. So in 2012, it went down to 9, which I think is a really good number. 9 regional editions.
Yeah.
That's a good number. I mean, the El Rey del Mundo for Asia Pacific, which I really didn't care for, came out that year, which I still have like 2 of really? Those. Good size though.
I love El Rey del Mundo. So
yeah. And
interesting.
Then last year the numbers rose, but 2011 was the big year, and I think it's fitting because if I'm correct, I think that's the year directly after the Bihike got number one.
Huh.
Didn't the Bihike get number one by Cigar Aficionado in 2010?
2010, yeah.
So 2011, there's 25 regional editions. This is a year after Cigar Aficionado gives the Bihike number one.
Hmm.
I think there's a correlation there. I think there's a connection. But the program has died down since then, and every year, you know, after the Cigar Aficionado gives a high rating to a Habanos, the regional edition program goes up. So, I don't know, maybe 2015 we'll see some big ones.
Yeah, well, Monty 2 just hit, so.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But now I do like the program because it gives the smaller brands the opportunity to shine.
Yeah.
It doesn't focus on Cohiba or Monte Cristo or anything like that. It's the time for these smaller brands to really make a presence.
Yeah, no, and I hate the pricing on for.
Yeah, pricing.
It just seems like the pricing is bullshit on most of them.
It's a little drastic.
Yeah, I think it would be nice if they brought it down a tad. You know, bring it down a notch. Because to be honest, I've had, in the past, I've had several that I was just kind of like, oh, this is a really good smoke, but I don't think it's on the same level as some of the edition limitadas I've had. I always go back to Siglo 6, you know.
Exactly, and it's 25-count boxes majority of the time. So it's like, if you're going to get a box, I mean, you're really putting some pennies into it.
Yeah, no, and I think Surgeon had the La Excepcion or whatever the hell it's called.
The Cuban one.
Yeah, well, it was the Lancero, right?
Oh, yeah, I know which one.
The Italian?
Yeah.
Italian. I think he had that in his, it may have been his cigar the year last year. If not, it was like really high on his list. And I've heard that from many, many people, but that being a 25-count box at $20 a stick, you know, they're like, I think the cheapest you found them at the time was $600.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of coin to drop on a box.
It's a crap ton of coin to drop on a box. Crap ton of coin.
Especially when you kind of have to it's a crapshoot whether or not the blend is going to be a good blend or not, because it makes you wonder, just like, yeah, you know, just like all of the limited edition crap that they throw out in the U.S. these days, if the blend's just some tweaked this or tweaked that, and it's really not worth the extra money in the hunt, that's my only thing about them. And I'll be honest, after having the Encantos, having such a good experience with that, you know, I think I would, going forward, I wouldn't mind dabbling in them a little bit more, you know what I mean? But not going deep, because to me it would be hard to go deep in something for $20 a stick when I know that I could get 3 boxes of Juan Lopez, you know.
It's a fair point, but I'll tell you this, this is what Habanos does right, which is what a lot of non-Cuban manufacturers seem to fuck up every single day of the week, is when they make a limited edition, it remains a limited edition. Yeah. 99% of the time, they just don't bring it back. It's like, if they release a limited edition one year, the next year, they're not like, somehow, by some fucking divine intervention, we found the same exact tobacco, and I can make it regular production for you. and it's the same quality stick, and I'm going to charge you less this time around because it's regular now. It's like, how the fuck did this happen? I mean, seriously, it pisses me off, and I'm calling them all out. I'm calling out.
Who are you calling out? The come out.
Oh, Rocky Patel, he's a fucking culprit. Oh, of course. E.P. Carrillo, he's a culprit. Tatuaje. Yeah. So any Tatuaje fans out there, go fuck yourself. You know, Saints and Sinners Club. I mean, shit, all these guys do it. It's just fucking ridiculous. It's like, make a limited edition and make it. Don't do anything else about it. Yeah.
Which it's is funny. It's funny that you said E.P. Carrillo, because I remember the... which one was it? Well, he did his 2009 inaugural.
The 2010 La Matata. That was it.
And then, yeah, and then he re-released one and said it was new tobacco, but it was limited. And that was like 2 years ago. It was really good. I think it was like 2012. He re-released same blend, different crop. And then that one's been going strong for like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, well, it's, you know,
and it got a rating. And
yeah.
Ridiculous.
La Palina had the Mr. Sam, which was supposedly this limited edition that was coming out of El Titan de Bronze that was made in this one Robusta. Then this year, it comes back. I guess the tobacco is not that limited. And wait a minute, not only is there not just one size, we're going to add more sizes. So there's three sizes now. I don't know. It's like... I just don't get it. Maybe I missed that part of high school or middle school or college where it's like limited becomes this regular thing and it's identical and I don't know. I'm just a fucking idiot, I guess. But...
Well, I do. I'll be honest. I've got to give credit to my buddy Akil at Regis because, he did the... what's it called? Orchant. Limitada last year, and it was unbelievably successful for him, and it was an amazing cigar. It was my cigar of the year, and I still have three boxes of them left, and then he did it again this year, but he straight up said, this is new crop, new tobacco.
New crop, same new tobacco. Blend. But he
new
said...
Crop, new tobacco, different, and I had the... Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, and he didn't change the price or anything, same price, but he was able to make 400 boxes of two different sizes this year because he saw the demand. And so he got a little bit more of the second crop or whatever of it. And it's different. It's totally different. It's not the same. And I smoked both of them recently, the new one and the old one. And both of them are absolutely fantastic. So, I mean, for any of our listeners that want to get something non-Cuban that doesn't suck balls, those things are ridiculous. And it's crazy. Like I was telling you, we were having a conversation about it the other night where store only gets two boxes. That's it. So, I happened to be sitting in my store when the two boxes came, and he opens it up. I mean, we were doing this building a pipe tobacco display, and he pulls the two boxes out, and I was like, oh, that's them. Give me one. Boom.
Yep.
So I at least got to give him credit because he only makes X amount of boxes and that's all he makes. And you only get this, every shop only gets two if you want them and that's it.
But you know what Akil did, and this is what is acceptable about it. It's almost a vintage annual release. He's not claiming it's the same thing. He's claiming these are different crops, different vintage. So it's going to be a little bit different, but it's the same concept. That I can dig. That I can dig. That's cool. What I hate is like this is a limited. This is really special because this wrapper, and they fucking look at you. The manufacturers, they fucking lie to you. They're like this comes from this Pilon, which is a very special Pilon, and it's the only one of its kind. And then 12 months later, magically 50 more Pilons showed up, and it's the same thing. I don't know what I'm gonna do with it. I'm gonna make it regular production, and this is what they do.
Yeah.
But at least
Cuba. Yeah. No, I know.
Cuba's like, hey, it's what's done is done. It's gone. And there you go.
No, and that's what's really cool about the Cube. Really, when somebody, for instance, and this is just an example, and I know we're talking about regionals. Regionals is the same thing. It's regional, that's what it's called, or limited release like the 1966 or the Monte Grande Mundo or the Edmundo. What was the Edmundo that you sent me from 2008?
Sublime.
Sublime, yeah. Like those, when they're gone, they're gone. And then within like 2 years, because everybody wants them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody realizes like, oh crap, this aged really well, and now it's absolutely fantastic, and it's worth twice the amount of money, you know, that it was before. And I think that's kind of cool because it really does bring, it gives value, provides value to the cigar. So like for me, this Encantos, you know, if 2 or 3 years down the line, you know, once I graduated grad school and I'm balling and I have money lying around and somebody's just like, oh, hey, by the way, here's some Encantos, bro. I know you're over here in Switzerland. We have a box. Like, you know, I would totally buy them because I know that they're fantastic and I know it's a great limited, you know, cigar that you're not going to see anywhere else.
It's, yes.
As opposed to, you know, a Undercrown Pig or, you know, something that, and I'm not picking on Drew Estate because
it's okay.
I don't know why, but those guys, I have to give them credit because they're like, okay, well, you're going to take a $5 cigar and put it into a pig mold and charge $20 for it, and everybody's going to freak balls.
They're the
kings of that, and they've got it down to a science. Whereas the Tatoué thing is more like, hey, we're going to make this limited release cigar, and it's basically the same cigar you've been smoking for the last, like, 6 years. We just, like, tweaked one little thing, and it's going to taste like everything else we've ever put out. But it's limited! You know?
Well,
that's what they do. It's ridiculous.
It is. And, you know, this is what pisses me off, and all you watching, this is what should piss you off as a consumer, and it's happened. When you buy, like, for instance, I bought a box. I have every limited edition La Palina has released in a box. Never opened. You know, like we did number 2s, 5s, 1896s, you know, the Lanceros, the Mr. Sands. I have a box of Mr. Sands, original limited editions. And yet, I bought them because it was a limited edition. And now it's no longer
a limited edition.
And now it's not. So it's like, oh, I have a box of these Mr. Sams, but what makes these unique is that they were once limited edition, but you really don't care because now they're regular edition sticks and they're in an even nicer box now. And it's like...
nicer box.
Thanks, Bill Paley and
Lafayette. I know you're a big fan of buying boxes and just stashing them away, and limited stuff and stashing them away.
That's what I've heard.
I know, you're...
It pisses me off. I almost want to throw them on the fireplace and just be like, fuck you,
yeah,
and film it.
Yeah. No, and I get it because, I mean, honestly, I know you're real big into that. I'm more of a, I buy them and then I smoke the crap out of them, and then if I absolutely love them and I have the money, then I'll buy multiple boxes of something, you know. And that's really where I'm at with those kinds of things. But I don't just buy limited boxes and throw them away for 3 or 4 years. And I know you're real big on that, and you have a ridiculous collection because of it.
And that's why it brings
the value of your collection down.
Exactly.
You know,
and that's why
when that happens.
And that's why I value Habanos in Cuba because they know what they're doing, because they don't mess around with it. And even with their regular productions like Bajiques, I have a box of unopened Bajiques from the original release. Not the limited, but when they made it regular, quote-unquote regular production.
So the day that we meet up, we can smoke those.
Exactly. So, you know, but those are still increasing in value. I could post those up on a forum and be like, here's the date, and people will go apeshit over them. I've had people go apeshit over them.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen with anything else. That's the difference between Cubans,
other than
Nicaraguans, DRs, Hondurans, etc.
Yeah, other than Drew Estate, I got to hand Drew Estate. I mean, if you have a box of number 9 pigs or T52 pigs, you can charge gold for them.
Oh yeah,
they're the one, at least, you know, whether or not the tobacco is limited, they the production is limited enough to create the demand, the insane demand, you know what I mean? So from a marketing standpoint, they know exactly what they're doing. I've always given them credit for that because it blows my mind how good they are at that.
Oh, they're great at it. I mean, it's like I was at a tobacco shop the other day talking with a bunch of guys, and I was like, yeah, I got a velvet rat that I got when I was down at Drew Estate in Nicaragua. And this guy went apeshit. He was like, what can I give you for it? I'm like, holy shit, dude, chill the fuck out. It's a velvet rat. Like, chill.
Yeah.
Like, why don't you go buy me 2-box cigars? Is that going to – I mean, it was getting to the point where I was like, dude, go spend your money elsewhere. You're going to find some cigars that you love, and it's going to be more worth your time than this thing.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, just stop.
Yeah.
So, but speaking of that, all honesty, we've had some great ones. We've had some not great ones. Regional editions, Catfish. What is your thought on the program? Are they worth the cost?
I'm going to say generally no. But I think the Encanto's changed my mind a little bit. It's starting to push me out to say, okay, well, maybe these are. And really, you know, to a degree, I think there is, you could make the argument of just like there's a certain kind of smoker that buys Padron, you know what I mean? Yeah. That guy's with money. You know, they're like, yeah, fuck it, I want to smoke Padron. Like, I know guys like that. I only smoke Padron and Opus X. That's all I smoke. You know, like, whatever. Because I can afford it. And to be honest, you know, if I could afford it and I ran across, you know, regionals that I liked, hell yeah, I'd stock up on them. You know what I mean? So I'm in a weird – I need to explore them more. I'll put it to you that way. As a budget consumer, I would say I don't think I would go deep on one at this point. But that Encantos, that's something I would go deep on. So that was the first one I've had that I went, oh, my God. I would love to have, you know, boxes of these because it was absolutely fantastic from start to finish. It was an amazing cigar, amazing experience. It was phenomenal. So I would not mind spending money on that any day of the week. That's worth, I mean, and when you consider $10 or $11 and I'm paying that for like some piece of crap NC, like, there's no comparison. There's no comparison. So in that regard, from a monetary standpoint, all day, you know, there's nothing from the NC market in that $12 range that could even come close to how good that cigar was. I mean, it was absolutely fantastic. I would put it on par with the best, Opus Xs that I've ever had, and Padrones and whatnot. You know what I mean? So in that regard... In that regard, yeah, they are worth it. Or at least that one was worth it. So, you know, I don't know. I think this is that's a topic and a question that we'll need to revisit because I'm really going to concentrate on that, especially now once – see, where I live, it gets hot as shit in the summertime, so it's kind of the opposite of everybody else. Like, everybody else in the wintertime smokes short smokes, but in the wintertime here we smoke longer smokes because it's not hot as shit.
Yeah.
Whereas in the summertime, we smoke shorter smokes because it's hot as hell and you don't want to be outside very long. So I'm going to start digging into some of these regionals here in the coming months. And so I'm really interested to see how these react with my palate, the Bolivars and Ramon Ayons and Port Larañagas that I have to really see, you know, experience what all is out there, I guess, because I do have limited experience, so it's hard for me to give a great opinion. I think what I always come back to as a budget smoker is I could get a box of Juan Lopez number one or number two for half the price of a box of regionals, and they're fantastic.
Yeah.
So, but this experience that I just had this week, for anybody that read it, you could tell I was absolutely blown away. So, and Juan Lopez is going to take 6 or 7 years to blow me away. But right off the truck, it's a fantastic smoke. So, I don't know. Comparatively speaking, with NCs, all day they kick the crap out of them in that regard, like limited NCs. I mean, they're like paying $15 for a Mr. Sam versus $15 for a regional on them. And nothing against La Polina, but sorry, I'm not going to go with Mr. Sam. Mr. Sam can kiss my ass. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying. So.
What about you? What about you, Tuna? And once you give me your opinion, I'm going to chew you out for a second. So give me your opinion, bitch. What's your opinion?
Overall.
Yes.
No. I don't think they're worth that. I don't think they've shown it. Now, with that being said, there's a couple of regional editions that I've never smoked that I would love to smoke that probably changed my mind. Like, I'm a big fan of the Ramon Ionis brand. Really am. Yeah. That brand is really becoming hot in Lebanon, and the limited editions are always, these regional editions are always Ramon Ionis. I've never smoked one of them. I've heard amazing things. Mm-hmm. But obviously, it's doing really well there, and they just want to keep coming back, because when you see every year a regional edition Ramon Ionis going to Lebanon, you kind of get the picture that
it got to be good.
Something's going right there. Something's working well. I kind of want to have faith in the program. My personal experience is overall looking at the prices and so forth. No. I mean, fortunately, I've never bought a box. I've been able to split or get some stuff here and there. But looking at those prices, I just can't see from an investment standpoint doing it when you can buy regular editions for half the cost and get that consistency and solid flavor profile that I really enjoy in a brand, especially some of these smaller brands. But you are right, though, that there are exemptions to that rule. This Bolivar 2007 Simones to Canada is probably one of the best Bolivars I've ever had. Always will be. But that's not always the case. So it's tough. You're right. Yeah. It's one of those things. I'd have to smoke all the regional editions, but talking to a lot of people internationally throughout the years, their thoughts are the concept of this regional edition program is incredible. Yeah. Where it falls and where it failures are in the fact of the people in the regions, and that it's just, you know, what it is. I mean, one of these days we're probably going to have a regional edition United States, and it's not going to be from Akil, which I thought was brilliant that Akil did.
Yeah, well, it was.
And if I was him, I would trademark the crap out of that, so if Habanos ever opens up, they have to pay him a shit ton to do that. But then again, I don't even know if I'm going to even like the regional editions that would ever come to the United States.
Yeah, exactly. They'll all be 58 ring gauge.
They'll all be 58, so. But I guarantee that's going to be the 1 year, hypothetically, I'm calling this now, the United States ever opens up to Cuban cigars, the first regional edition is not going to be one of these small brands. No. Habanos is going to say, screw it. They're going to make a 60 ring gauge Cohiba, and that thing's going to be like Cohiba. $100. Yeah, it's going to be huge.
Yep.
And it's going to be shit.
Pretty much. Dude, we hit the hour mark.
We hit the hour mark, and we're on fire. We're just rolling.
Random bullshit, dude. With the beard.
No, but we focused on that regional concept and that limited concept.
So on a side note, what's up with you slamming the Hoya Palmas extra? Did I send that to you or not? Or was that something you just had?
I don't know if you sent it to me or not. Man, I just did not like that stick. I could not get into it, dude. I do suck. I have no fucking palate.
Here's what's funny is I was reading the first part of your review on it, and you're talking about how Hoyo de Monterrey Ray is just all over the board. And to me, that cigar is like a super full cigar that they make. And I love the size. I love that size across the board in every brand.
It's a great size.
5.5 by 40.
It's a great size. Yeah.
Up in Majestic, Partagas, Super Partagas. Then there's the Romeo. I can't remember which Romeo it is, but like one of the number one, twos, or threes is the same size. And anyways, that is funny. I was wondering where you got it, because when I've heard everybody's like loves this cigar. Like, oh, it's one of the best budget cigars out there. And so I had bought some abroad at LCDH. And my cigar sucks. Like, everybody is smoking crack. Like, they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. And then 6 months later, and so I started giving them away, you know, and then 6 months later, I'm like, oh, crap, it was amazing. Like, it was unbelievable. That's why I was wondering where you got it from, because
I have to.
If it was one of mine, then you're just an idiot, and you can go fuck yourself.
Exactly.
if it wasn't, then
you know what it is.
Visit, bro.
I will need to revisit because it was disappointing. Because I love the size. I looked at that cigar and I was like, God, this is a great size. And for some reason, I know the factory name is Morevas. For some reason, whenever I think of that name, this I always get a positive thought because for some reason I think of like this Cuban woman with this long dark black hair with these amazing soft thighs. That's the first thing that comes to mind when I hear Morevas. I don't know why it is. But that's the first thing that comes to mind. So I go into the cigar like, oh, yeah, man, it's going to be like fucking a hot Cuban chick. And then I was like, damn, this thing's a fucking beast. It's strong as hell, and I don't know. Yeah. I got to try it out again. But
that's funny. Well, I was actually thinking it would be cool to do a sorry, we're chopping up.
Where are we?
I was going to say, I would think it would be cool to do a shootout of that size because there's four companies that do that size. And every single one I've had, I thought was great. The Upman Majestic, the Super Partagas, I mean, they're all great, and they're not expensive at all. They're all in $4 or less.
And that was in the oil was once a machine made stick.
Yeah.
That they turned into a handmade, which tells you something, which obviously shows that I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. So.
Well, and it's really dark. Did yours have a really dark wrapper? Or always real dark.
Very dark wrapper. Very dark wrapper.
Totally, I mean, not like a normal Hoyo.
It's almost weird. Like a Limitada wrapper. It was dark. Beautiful wrapper.
Crazy.
And then the flavor profile was like, it's not rolling. I'll come back to it. You always have to come back to it. So, but yeah, it's just funny. What are you going to say, man? So,
yeah.
What are you going to do about it? I'm going to go smoke a Cohiba Escondido and rave about it now, so.
Yeah, it's all good. So I gotta go play tonight.
Yeah, you gotta go do a gig and our hour's up, but we got the show in. We're gonna be back on
We're gonna
be back on the 13th. I don't know what the fuck we're gonna talk about. Yeah, we're gonna be back September 13th, I think. But
okay.
September 20th, we're gonna be on Cigar Jukebox. I don't know how you have to listen to it because I don't even know. But we're going to figure it out and let you all know because Catfish and I are going to be boarding the plane to Australia and eating some prawns and chilling with our Australian-American mate, Dave.
Yep, it's going to be awesome. Very, very excited to do it.
And we're going to be talking about what music we pair with our cigars.
Oh, yeah.
And
I'll go crazy on that.
Yeah, I was thinking about it, and it's just it's tough. So I'm thinking Kenny G. Why not?
Really? That doesn't surprise me.
Not really. No, I don't listen to Kenny G, man. But not Led Zeppelin. Led Zeppelin's too much. It's too heavy. But
yeah, it is. It is too heavy.
But all right,
much better.
There you go. Just chill. All right, you got a gig. I got to get up and run in the morning. So, One Embargo episode 14. Which
14. We had the ghost of Cigar Federation Eagle Wi-Fi issues.
It's the ghost of Christmas past. Yeah, that's what you know. It's because Logan's back in Texas. Things go wrong when Logan's in Texas. So who knows?
All right, guys. All right. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Hey, we got to give our little shout outs real quick to www.cigarfederation.com. If you want to read our reviews, www.habanoscritic.com. If you want to see the show, you go to either Cigar Federation's YouTube channel, or you can go to CigarFederation.com under the tab that says Talk Shows and look up What Embargo, along with the other wonderful shows that we have on the site. And if you want to hang out and talk, forums.habanoscritic.com is a place you can come and talk about all things Habanos with us.
All things Habanos. Good job, Catfish. Thank you all. Good night and God bless.
Bye!